under your nose called your tongue. And James had a lot of things to say about that. We're not through talking about that at this point. But words are very, very important, right?
Right.
I mean, you can say things, you can say words that will destroy people's confidence, destroy their life, destroy their hope. Really? Amen? Well, if you can destroy it, can't you build it up?
Right.
With what? Words of hope. Words of life, words of truth. You know, it doesn't matter if your circumstances may be this, but the truth is God's word, and God is true and God is real. Use His word, things will change. Jesus said, "Speak to the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea." Right? And if you believe in your heart, what you say with your mouth, you're going to have what you say.
Right.
Everybody said, amen.
Amen.
Only part about that is not good is it works in the opposite as well as in the positive. When we say things that are negative, when we say things that are can't happen, you know, I'll believe that when I see it. Well, you might as well move to Missouri because that's where those people live. Anyway, the show me state. Anyway, I don't think everybody in Missouri is like that. But I haven't met a lot of people in Missouri, I don't guess. But anyway, I want to talk tonight about the vision. And let's go, Cameron, please, to Proverbs 29:18. I was sharing with Bill before church. You know, we used to go to meetings, and we've been in this over a day or two, and we go to meetings, and you would hear this scripture quoted so many times. Hardly ever would you get through a series of speakers or whatever that this did not come up, because it's very important. I don't want to perish, do y'all? Now, that doesn't mean necessarily that you're going to cease to exist. But your dreams can perish. Your hopes can perish. Your life can perish. Your social world can perish. Your job can perish. A lot of bad things can happen. It goes with the word perish, right? It didn't say thrive. It said perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Of course, the last part says, but he that keepeth the law or the word of God, lives for God, lives by faith, is happy. I like being happy. What about y'all? I don't even like being around people that are not happy. Y'all? I mean, it's like a thunderstorm walks into the room. Everybody's laughing and carrying on, and here comes Mr. Thunderstorm. You know? And he's all doom and gloom and just sort of, you know, unless you have awareness of what's in you is greater than what's in him. Amen? So stir up that gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a happy spirit.
Yes.
God's a happy God.
Amen.
He's not wringing his hands tonight wondering what's going to happen. He knows what's going to happen because he's already been to the end and come back to where we are right now to help us get to the end.
Yeah.
Glory to God.
Yeah.
He's a good God. Amen? And he loves us and he cares about everything about us, every minute detail he wants to know about. Sometimes we think, well, you know, I don't want to bother God with that. It's just, I can handle that. Look to your neighbor and say, there ain't much you can handle. There ain't much you can handle. You think you can. You know, we think, well, we can handle that. Well, maybe we just can't. Isn't right? So why don't we just, even if we do, I think our best is God's best is better than our best.
Yeah.
Amen? It's not even close. So why don't we just let him do it? Anybody know what the 23rd Psalm says? The Lord is my shepherd on Sunday morning. I was thinking about those poor sheep today. And we're one of them. Sheep are not known for their smarts. They just walk around with their head down eating all the time. Sound like somebody I know. But anyway, but when you do that, you bump into things, don't you, Grace? Her name's really Dina, but we call her Grace because she's prone to bump into things. But not anymore.
Not anymore.
That curse is broken. Amen? You will not fall out of the bed again. Amen?
Amen!
Amen. And hurt your pretty little nose. That's right. You do need that nose. But sheep are just walking around. They depend on that shepherd for everything that they need, want, desire. They depend on the shepherd.
Right.
Is that true?
Yes.
He takes them to green pastures. He takes them to still water. He takes them to high in the summertime in the hills, in the mountains. In the winter, he brings them down low. He shears them. He just takes care of them. They know him so well that in the Bible days, they would go, let's just say they go into town, and there's a lot of shepherds, and they all have their own individual flock, right? Right? Okay. So we'll make sure. And so they didn't have separate pens for all those sheep. They just had one big place over there for all the sheep. But when they got ready to go, when the shepherd got ready to go, he made a certain sound. The sheep knew his voice, and they would follow him. Sound like any Christians y'all know. Hopefully. God's voice. The Lord is my shepherd. We've said that as long as we've been a Christian. The Lord is my shepherd. And I what? Shall not want, because I'm teetotally dependent on his care for me. Amen. Spiritually, mentally, physically, financially, socially, and emotionally, every area of life, we're totally dependent on that, friend. Amen? Well, you know, if I just had $8 million, I'd be happy. Probably not. If you were married, you'd probably need 9. All the men said yes. Amen. Anyway, but some of the most wealthy people in the world are miserable. And you can't buy health. No. You cannot. I always tell this story about A.D. Blunt. His wife needed a kidney. And he said he was in a little restaurant there in Calhoun City. And this guy came up to him and said, "Well, A.D., if I had your money," A.D. said, "Money's not everything. I can't buy my wife a kidney." So God is our source. The sooner we realize that, the better. Amen. Do not do like some people I've known that want to have a benefit for themselves. Really. I've known people like that. Really. Y'all would know some of them too. You know, if something happens like this lady's house, a lot of communities of people get together and they raise money. And we have some communities around us that can raise a lot of money. Oklahoma not being one of them that I know of so far. But anyway, they raise money. It's a benefit. But I know people won't have a benefit for themselves. They'll call it. They'll organize it. It's a benefit for them. But they're looking to men and women as their source. And you get shot in the foot every time you do that kind of stuff. Because it's all about you. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, "I'm not going to be like that." All right. I like benefits, but I'm not going to sponsor my own. That's tacky, don't you think? I don't know if this generation, they know what tacky means. But anyway, where there is no vision, what do we mean by vision? The Word of God will create God's vision within you. Vision, your vision of God's attitude towards you, his provision towards you, his love towards you, everything that God is toward you and all of mankind. He loves us all the same. Amen. He loves us. But a lot of people tonight, even in church, are living under like the song said, the Jericho walls have got them boxed in. All they can think about is their mistakes. Yeah. They're unworthy. And God can never forgive me. He did it on the cross 2,000 years ago. Yeah. Believe the Word of God. Amen. That's all we have to do is to believe the Word of God. But the Word of God will create God's vision within you. God's vision. What does 3 John verse 2 say? "Beloved, I wish above all things that you" what? "Prosper and be in health." There are people who take oaths of poverty, thinking that it's bringing glory to God. Now, that's their business. But I don't think that's necessarily what the Word of God is saying. I have tried poverty. Prosperity is a lot better. Don't you think? Yeah. I like having, money to buy a tire or whatever from a car. I like that. Don't y'all?
Yeah.
That's right. A lot of people are working very hard to be prosperous. And God is the one that's, he's what? Our shepherd. He gave you a job. He gave you a good job. He's blessed you. He's blessed you with gifts and talents. He's blessed you with health. He's blessed you with all these things to do what he's called you to do so that his plan could be manifested in your life. But we need a vision. If I don't have a vision of that, I will never reach my potential. If I don't have a vision of who I am and where God wants me to be, I will never attain that. I probably won't even ever get started in that. The thing I said in high school, the one thing I'll never do is be a preacher. 40 years later, almost 41 years later, we're still here. And I told some other dads, I'm just as excited this Sunday, last Sunday, as I was the first Sunday. And I'm fully expecting this Sunday to be the same way. Amen? God's good, y'all. He's not some old fogey sitting on a rock somewhere. He's alive and well. He wants something good to happen for you. So give yourself permission to believe for it. Are your sins washed away? Are they? Are they? Yeah. Well, kick that sacred cow out of the way. Say that if your sins are forgiven, well, you're stepped into the realm of blessings of God. Why are we handcuffing God? Say, oh, I don't need that. I don't want that. You know, I did this in 1942. I wasn't here in 1942. Anyway, why do we do that? It's that false humility, that religious spirit that wants to keep us down under the walls of Jericho. And you know why the walls of Jericho had to come down? Because it was preventing the children from going to their promised land. The promised land is a land of blessing.
Right.
It flows with milk and honey.
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
There's giants over there. We can't go. We parted the Red Sea. We walked across. My God is able.
Yeah.
Where's the spirit of David? You uncircumcised Philistine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Calling my God this and cursing my God. You have no covenant, and I do. And this day, you Philistine, God will give you to me. And I will feed your, puts it politely in King James, your carcass to the birds. And I will take your head off. And he didn't even have a sword. Now, that's a lot of, we missed that part. But that's a leap in faith right there. Are there some spiritual Davids in here tonight? You better believe it. This nation, this world is screaming like that Philistine. Your big God, where's your big God now? We control everything. I got news for that voice. I got news for that vision. That's a vision right out of the pit of hell. That's the spirit of Antichrist. And I tell you something, not Antichrist is going to come, but the Christ is going to come. He's here now. He's in you. He's in me. We need to rise up. We need to get a vision of who we are.
Yes.
Well, you know, I'll just sit here and be quiet and meek and humble and just, you know, and I'll be happy with a log cabin in heaven. You're lying out of your teeth. You'll just lie because when you get there and when you see my Lamborghini over there and that baseball field and all this kind of stuff I want to have in heaven, you're going to say, woo, look at you, man. I got a log cabin. You want to come see it? No. I don't want. And log cabins are fine, you know. That's okay. Nothing gets that. But when you get to heaven, streets of gold. Yeah. No potholes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Even I can ride a horse in heaven. Even I can drive a motorcycle in heaven without getting hurt. Huh? And can swim in heaven. You can swim in heaven. Woo! I want to go now. Isn't that right? There's no clouded days. Hey, even Willie Nelson sings unclouded day. I mean, come on. If Willie can sing it, glory, it must be true. An unclouded day. I mean, yesterday was not an unclouded day. It was a clouded day, and I wanted to do stuff. I need to do stuff, and it rained an inch and a half at my house yesterday morning. So guess what? I didn't get to do what I wanted. then guess what? Pouting like a little boy. Pouting like I was if I was 12 years old, wouldn't play baseball that day, and it rained it out. Let me tell you something. God's got everything you ever want. I remember, I'm telling my age and really how my brain works sometimes, but anyway, I remember the day my daddy and my mother gave me my first baseball shoes and a glove. I'm 10 years old. I remember the Christmas. I got a 20-gauge shotgun. That's just stuff. Yeah. And if we know to do that, what can God do?
Amen.
What can God do? You remember you guys, girls and guys, y'all remember when you got your first horse? I remember when I got my first stick horse. I used to have I remember this very well. I used to have one of those rocking horses that had the springs on it. You just bouncing them. I like to wore that thing out. I go, I ought to be able to ride one good. Diane, but I just don't seem to get the knack for it. Anyway, God is good. I got to learn. But I know this, if you fall off your horse in heaven, it don't hurt. Just get up. Hallelujah. That's good. A vision. We got to have a vision so we won't perish. The word perish there in the Hebrew can mean paralyzed. You ever heard someone or seen someone or maybe been there yourself? Well, I'm just stuck right here. I'm in my job and I'm at the top of it. I can never go any further. It's as far as I can ever get in life. I'm stuck right here. Well, your God is able to do a lot of things. So it all boils down to our vision of how big is my God. There are people tonight in hospitals all over the world and in terrible need tonight. But the question we have to ask ourselves, because we've probably all been there sometime or another, is my God able? Is he big enough to do that? Yeah. If you want to win in life, I'll preface this with the scripture. 1 John 5:4. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our. If you want to be a world overcomer, if you want to have a successful life, you've got to be strong in faith. Now, faith, sometimes we think, well, boy, I've learned this much and I'm up here now. But faith will never stay static or constant. It's always ebbing and flowing. It'll be as strong as we are in the Word, as how your faith's going. You go on vacation from God for a little while and get away from reading the Bible, your faith's going to go down. Is anybody can give me a witness on that?
Yeah.
But boy, you get back into it. Revive us again. We sing the old hymn. I want revival. How many of us want revival?
Yeah.
We all want revival. Well, ta-da. I have to do something. I'd put my nose in the book. I got to come to church. I got to be in a position so God can bless me. Amen? Or I'm one of those sheep that's just, out here wandering around and wolves are out there. There are bears out there. There are lions out there. David said, I killed a lion and a bear to save the sheep. That's what our God can do. That's what a man did. What can your God do? We need a vision of this, of the goodness and the greatness of our God. And his DNA is in you, called eternal life, life everlasting. For God so loved me, you, and this world, that he gave his only begotten Son. Not after we showed him how great we were. He loved us in our sin. Yeah. He loved us when we had no hope of even having hope. But he said, I have an answer. I have a solution to your problem. Isn't that good news? God's got a solution to your terminal illness, which is sin. None of us could get out of it. Because we were all sinners. We were contaminated by the blood of Adam. Sin contaminated that, and our relationship with God was severed. But God said, I'll give my son in your place. How would that do? How would that make a difference? How could that possibly make a difference? God gave his son, and you know, and we've heard that, and we just sort of sing our way through it. And God gave his son, so, time out. God gave his son. He took on flesh. He didn't have Adam's seed. He had a father's seed. Born of a woman. Took on flesh. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. And they called him Jesus, who went about doing good. Hebrews 10:38. Went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed. You know, it's my sinuses, and it's Mississippi, so you're supposed to have sinus problems. No, he did better than that. Jesus' blood paid for my sin. Am I right about that?
Yeah.
So God sent his son, who could solve the situation, who could reverse the curse, who became the second Adam on planet Earth, and showed us what it's supposed to be like to be the first Adam. Yeah. Glory to God. And that's what's in you tonight. Everlasting. When you're born again, therefore, if you be in Christ, you're a new creation. The Bible plainly says, as you research that out, as a species that has never before existed. Yeah. Jimmy Bryan, March 11, 1976, died. That old man died. That sin nature died. And received a new nature. You did the same thing. You're not that old person anymore. The old man's dead. The new man lives. But we need a vision of him. We've become so familiar with church, so familiar with certain scriptures, so familiar with some doctrines that people tell you and preach to you, and you know that. Just read your Bible. Take it for what it's worth and let God set you free. Let him tear down the walls of Jericho for you, because the word of God is truth. It may be a fact that today I'm busted and disgusted. But the truth is, by his stripes, I'm healed. The truth is, Jesus became a curse for me, because it says, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that we might receive the blessings of Abraham, not only the Old Testament blessings, but all the New Testament blessings with Christ Jesus, because it plainly says, I am a joint heir with Christ. And I'll tell you something, I fully believe that he's doing quite well tonight. He don't have on a dirty t-shirt, flip-flops. Don't misunderstand me. If you wear a dirty t-shirt and flip-flops, it's just a saying, okay? But when we see him, we're going to be like him. He has become my righteousness. He's become your righteousness. You have part and parcel to all God has ever had for you. It's like the accident or the tragedy that happened in the Garden of Eden never happened. If we can't say that, believe it, we don't believe the word of God and the blood of Jesus has no effect on you. But what Jesus did healed the tragedy. All that is behind. How much, Romans chapter 3, chapter 5, how much more will the grace of God and the righteousness of God cleanse you from all unrighteousness? Right. Your faith makes righteous work. Yes. We have to believe it. and then bang, it happened. That's what happened the night you got saved, the other day. You actually believed God. God recognized it in your heart. It wasn't something you just quoted. It wasn't a card you filled out. You actually made a decision that night. Finally got honest with God, and boom, he didn't wait around. He showed up quick. Because he's been calling on you a long time. Thank God is right. The Word will create God's vision within you. Listen to this. Your vision of who you are in God and who God is in your heart and understanding is a necessity. Without it, you will perish. Well, you know, my family's always been broke. No man in my family lived over 50 years old, had heart disease, they had this, they had that. Well, what's that got to do with you? Jesus redeemed us from that stuff. And now we're stepping on some toes, perhaps. But the thing is, I'd rather trust God than my family lineage. They just didn't know better sometimes. Where will faith take you? Where will your faith take you? All the way to heaven. Where will it take me tonight?